And now it is my pleasure to introduce Lily from the Dawn Busters group at 8111. Hi, y'all. Y'all's a real word in Georgia. My name's Lily. I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to read one thing right quick out of the big book. I always do this when I tell my story because this was the one thing in this big book that was not going to come true for me. And it accidentally did. See what y'all did to me? Woo! So, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works with other activities. So, then you go down here. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. So you guys are the bright spot of my life today. That made no sense when I first read it. I'm like, this is not, I'm going to stop drinking, and you guys can, you know what you guys can do, right? And then I got a little bit more sober, and I fell in love with y'all. Y'all saved my life, so I appreciate that. So anyways, I'm a little Georgia peach, born in 1979. I was born in 74 in Marietta, Georgia, Kennestone baby, a third generation Kennestone baby. My kids are fourth generation Kennestone babies. I was the product of a, let's see, spring break oops. So my mom, 16, well, 15 actually at the time, and my dad, 16 at the time, decided to do grown-up people stuff on spring break, and 9 months later, there I am. And back then in the 70s, you were made to get married if you did that, right? So my mom, 16, and my dad, 17, or maybe get married, and then my grandma made my daddy go to the army. And that's how my little life started, right? So, not too bad, whatever. I think El Paso, Texas, my dad was stationed there. My little brother was born a year later after me, so there's my mom at 17 with two kids. And my father, who was in the army, got murdered. And so my mom, who was very uneducated, very young, and was very broke, had to raise me and my little brother in a very poor neighborhood with no running water, no lights, and we didn't know there was anything wrong with that because all we knew, right? Until I got a little bit older, and I think I was about 5 or 6, starting school, and we moved to Marietta. And we lived right across the street from the projects. And so basically it was a predominantly black neighborhood. I was the only little white girl. There was two white guys, my brother and Brian. I'm not going to say his last name, but anyway, another guy, right? And that was it. And it was pretty normal for me until I started going to school. And I was made, and by the way, my mom named me after my father. So my first name is Michael. So thanks, Mom. I had a really good start, right? So blonde hair, blue-eyed. Well, I had blonde hair. It's pink now. But I had blonde hair, blue-eyed, and that was not the best color hair or best color eyes when you were in a black neighborhood. So I was very aware that I had the wrong color eyes, I had the wrong color hair, and I had the wrong name very, very early. So my life was about trying to fit in the best I could when I didn't. And that was my whole life. I discovered alcohol. I'm not going to stay too much into the drunkalog because, see, y'all, I'll be drunk this whole hour. So I'm going to tell you, I started drinking in 7th grade. It was awesome. It was 4 wine coolers. It was awesome. And then it wasn't because I was so sick. I was never going to drink again. All right. So anyways, and I didn't for a while. And then here comes high school. And guess what I did? I did what Mama did. And I met somebody, and we did grown-up stuff, and my freshman year, I had my first son. And then I was in love with this guy, but my family didn't allow me to be in love with that guy because he was the wrong color, right? So I have 2 sides of the family. My mom's side of the family, they were okay. Dad's side of the family, I was immediately disowned. So now I'm not good enough for my family. I'm not good enough for my friends. I'm not good enough for people in my neighborhood. And I hate myself. You know, I just want to be different than what I was. I had this baby. I was told all the bad things that were going to happen to me if I kept this baby. But I have a real alcoholic ego, and I'm going to keep this baby, and I'm going to show you. And I stayed in school. I got married way too young at 16. And then my senior year of high school, I was pregnant with twins. So by the time I graduated high school, I had three. One to three. No two, ever. So then I'm married, you know, I'm playing house, right? Moved to Michigan, which sucked. Detroit sucked. But anyways, that's where my husband was from at the time, my ex-husband, let's say that. And so I go to Michigan to start this new life. I have baby number four. And these are all boys, by the way. And baby boy number four was killed in a car accident when he was 3 weeks old. And that's when I really discovered alcohol, right? I drank, and I drank, and I drank. And then I did some other things that you know, I smoked some of my alcohol too, right? So Detroit taught me a lot about feeling good, forgetting the stuff that I wanted to forget, and I went down really, really, really fast. Had two more kids, two more boys, and then I came back to Georgia. By this time, I was going to leave Detroit so I could stop drinking and drugging, right? Because the geographical change works, right? So I came all the way back down to Georgia, and guess what was here? Everything that was in Detroit was right here. The thing was, I knew the look now. See, I didn't know the look until I had gone to Detroit. And then I came back down, knew the look. So I got real messed up real fast, real quick. I got interventioned in 1997. That's before, like, intervention was on TV, you know? And it was, I thought I was walking into an ambush. And I just remember everybody crying. My oldest son was there, my mom. And two AA ladies. I had never heard of Alcoholics Anonymous except on TV when it was like, "Hi, Lily, I'm an alcoholic. Poor you." I mean, TV made it sound like this is just the worst thing ever, right? Not interested in stop drinking. Didn't think I was an alcoholic. But to get them off my back, I'm like, okay, I'll go to AA tomorrow. Tomorrow. We'll go tomorrow. And somehow or another, well, I know now that it was a God, but back then we weren't even using the G word, right? So I go to my first meeting. It was at Rebo's in Marietta. It was a speaker meeting. Some guy told my story, which was bizarre to me. I didn't know how to know this guy, except for maybe he was sober and I wasn't. I'm like, he knew streets and cities, and he told my story. And I remember feeling connected a little bit. I was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. That's not what I saw on TV, right? Still didn't want to really stop drinking. I got a sponsor. I did the things that you did. I won this book in 1997 at that meeting. I didn't open it for like 11 years. I would just say that. I don't know. That 1 year that I didn't drink, I'm not going to call myself sober that year because I kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm powerless, okay, sponsor, okay, yes, we'll believe, okay, maybe I'm insane. You know, I half measured every one of those steps, and when the big book says half measures availed us nothing, it availed me a relapse. That's what half measures availed me. So after a year of not drinking, I went to nursing school, graduated top of my class, and then I got told no for a job because of my record. See, I left that out, right? That was part of the what happened. Like, I went to a crime life, right? And I spent a lot of time breaking the law because it was my quick fix. Way before alcohol and drugs was, breaking law was my quick fix. So anyways, after that year and the one no that I got for a job that I wanted because I had just graduated nursing school, I was like, see, I did it your way. This is what I got. I'm going back to what I know. And so I'll just say this because I've only got, you know, a little bit of time. The next 8 years, I went to prison four times. Four. As soon as I got out, I went back. One time I was out for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Went right back. Right back. Right back. Right? That's not counting the jails and the, you know, gateways and the, all the, the boot camp and all that crap. You know, everywhere they can send you, they sent me. Except rehab. I wouldn't take it. I literally had a judge say, you want a 6 month? Nope. Send me the boot camp. I'm not doing it. I knew that if I wasn't ready, I wasn't going to do it. So they were going to send me back to jail anyway. Just let me do my time and get out, because I knew I was going to go do something dumb. You know, like 2003, I was in Delk Road. I was drunk for a week, not just drunk. You know, I did party favors too. Alone, no sleep. I can't get high. I can't get drunk. I can't stop. Like, it was that moment where I was like, ah, this is that thing they were talking about. And I remembered some of the AA talk that I heard, right? Y'all sounded real good, but y'all sounded like you're all lying, right? Like, if y'all got high and drunk the way I did, there's no way y'all are this happy about not drinking. That's just how I felt, you know? And so I didn't buy into the AA, but I remembered, you know? Maybe this was that what they were talking about, that rock bottom people talked about. And I was sitting in Howard Johnson on Delk Road, and I remember picking up the phone. I called my parole officer, and I said, come get me. And he was like, Miss Gore, do you realize I can send you back to prison? I said, yes, sir, but prison didn't get me sober. I can't call my mom. I can't call anybody. I've burnt every bridge that I've even crossed or touched. You're the only person I know to call. And I told him, if you're not here in 30 minutes, I will go get some more. I will. But I don't know who else to call. And that guy was there in like 28 and a half minutes. Not that I was glued to the window, but I was glued to the window. And you know what? He took me to Cobb County Jail. He says, you have 30 days to find a rehab. And I found one. I'm not going to get into all that, but Bridge of Hope. I got turned down for a lot of rehabs or whatever it was, sober living, whatever you call these days. But at the time, Bridge of Hope took me, and I'd never heard of Bridge of Hope, and I heard it was way long ways and all that. And my parole officer took me. And I still wasn't super sure AA was going to work. I so did not like Bridge of Hope. I just didn't like it. But in hindsight, it was important. I got in trouble a lot because I had a big mouth, right, and a bad attitude on top of that big mouth. And I got in trouble a lot, and they have this thing they call the fence line. If you get in trouble, you got to go pick weeds at the fence line, right? And all those people did at Bridge of Hope talk about God, 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 right? And I was sick of hearing about God, because if God existed, I wouldn't be where I'm at, right? That's how I thought. I didn't look at Bridge of Hope was like, God sinned. Like, this sucks. Why would God let this happen to somebody? And so anyways, I'm on the fence line for whatever reason. I can't even remember what I did, but I did something wrong. And I'm picking weeds, and it's like July. And we're in Morven, Georgia, which is like Florida. Just call it Florida. It's hotter and I don't know what. And I'm picking weeds, and I look up and I was like, God, if you're really there, you'll give me a breeze. And the sun came out from behind the cloud, and it got about 5 degrees hotter immediately. And I'm like, man, God, talk to me. God, talk to me. And I'm like, oh, you got jokes. And then a breeze came. And that was my first, like, burning bush. That was my only burning bush. Like, profound God moment. I didn't understand it, but it was like the tingly winglies. But I'm going to tell you, that did not keep me sober. See, because I became entitled. Don't you know who I am? God, talk to me. And now he ain't talking to me no more, so now here's this abandoned. Because I'm real good at being a victim and abandoned. And don't you know how everybody does me wrong, including God? See? And I got kicked out of Bridge of Hope. Well, just long story short, I got kicked out of Bridge of Hope and went back to jail. Sober. First time I've ever been to jail sober. And it was different. And it sucked. And I remember writing the parole board, and I knew I was going back, you know, for violation of probation, for not completing the program. and I wrote Provo. And I don't know how, y'all, I'm just going to say, I don't have any drug charges or DUIs or alcohol charges. And you pretty much have to get in the program, you know. And I just wrote the Provo board, and I said, please, you know, I'm trying. I've tried wrong, but I've tried. I really want to get sober. I just don't friggin' know how. I probably didn't say it like that in the letter, but, you know, it's pretty much what I said. And they gave me this program called Correctional Recovery Academy, which is like called RSAP now, right? But back then it wasn't. And it was a 9-month intense, like you cross your eyes, you rode up type recovery. And it was AA and NA and some other A and life skills and budgeting and all this weird stuff that you don't do when you're still on drugs, right? You don't like budget. You just don't. So I didn't know how to be an adult. I had to go to rehab to realize I don't know how to be an adult. I had to go to prison and realize I didn't know how to make my bed. Like, I had to go to prison to grow up, which is sad. Now, I will say this. My mother's very active drinker. We're not going to call anybody else alcohol, right? But, you know, you spot, you got it. It caused a lot of resentment in me for a very, 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 very long time. I hated her. She was the reason everything. It's your fault I'm an alcoholic because you're one, right? Like, I'm sure my mom just said, hey, let me be an alcoholic. Just like I did, right? But I blamed my mom and God for everything. It was so easy for me to be a victim. I couldn't get out of it. Because if you just knew how bad it was, y'all would understand why I'm a victim. And so anyway, fast forward a little bit. I go to prison. I go through this program. I graduate the program, blah, blah, blah. And I remember this lady. She was a counselor. And she was like, inmate, the biggest decision that you'll ever make up to this point in your life is whether you get to a 12-step meeting within 24 hours after your release. And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, okay, just give me my token. I want to go. But for whatever reason, I'm on that MARTA bus, and I'm thinking about it. Like, okay, maybe I'll just go to A and get it out of the way, right? Because I want to be free. And I asked that bus driver if he knew where an AA meeting was. And he said, yeah. And he told me to go to Five Points and go to, I don't know, North Spring. I don't know where he told me what. Somehow or another, I ended up at 8111. I'd never heard of 8111. When I tell you, I'm 2 hours released from prison for 2 years. And I end up at 8111. And that guy called on, and he called on the intercom at 8111. I was like, oh, shit, man. They're going to all know that I'm, sorry for cussing on the speaker tape, but I'm like, they're going to know I'm an alcoholic. But all my belongings are in a clear plastic bag. They know I'm a convict, but God forbid. God forbid I be an alcoholic, right? But anyways, I ended up going into the 8111 2 hours after release. And I sat down, and of course, I'm on fire because I've been sober a couple of years. And remember then, I worked the steps, and I'm ready to share and throw all this my bull crap on y'all. And I sat in it was called Sober Sister. It used to be at 8111 back then. It was a 10 o'clock a.m. meeting, and I sat in there, and I'm on fire, man. I'm excited. I understand the lingo now, right? I don't feel as stupid as I did my first AA meeting. And I raised my hand, and I shared. And the lady that shared after me was, like, way back in the corner, that guy is, and she raised her hand in tears. And she said, that's why I do what I do. And it was the lady that had seen me in Cobb County Jail AA in and out for 5 years. In and out. Get released, back in, go to AA, because it was like a field trip, right? And that lady was there, and I was the only person she had ever seen from jail on the streets in an AA meeting. And she became my sponsor. You know, it was weird, but she knew me. I didn't have to explain the embarrassment of, yeah, I just got out of prison. She knew, so I didn't have to worry about scaring her. See, I thought I was the only one in AA that went to prison. See how big my ego is? Like, I'm the worst of the worst. So anyway, she became my sponsor. And then Sober Sisters left and went to Roswell. And I'm a victim. And I got to find another meeting. And then I go to Pre-Dawn Busters, which is 6:15 a.m. in the morning, right? Now, I didn't go to Pre-Dawn Busters because I just wanted to go to AA. I had cussed out a police officer sober and got community service and had to do it at 8111. And so I'm just cleaning little bathrooms and all this, and the guy that was the manager there at the time, Russell. Rest in peace, Russ. He took me under his wing. Like he, and like, I'm gonna tell you, like 12 women in a row, Cream Dawn Busters would not sponsor me. So I got a guy. I got Harold. You know what I'm saying? This guy named Harold. He wasn't scared of me. Right? And I didn't care about girl, guy, or none of that. I had a wife when I got there because, you know, I just got out of prison. So we'll just keep it all the way real. I'm just saying. So, you know, hey, if you're gay, you can have a boy sponsor, right? You know? I manipulated everything early on. I just wanted to get sober and stay out of jail. I didn't even want to stay sober. I wanted to get sober, but I wanted to stay out of jail. Something in me knew this is the only way it's going to happen. I got to keep it on time. I'll be drunk this whole hour, y'all. So anyways, I go to pre-dawn with her, get here, and finally we do fish stuff. He's like, you got to find your woman, you know. And I did, and it took a while, right? It took a while. And it didn't take a while because of women at 8111 don't sponsor. It took a while because I was a brat. And people didn't like me. And I didn't like me, so I didn't blame you for not liking me. But I do remember, like, you know, after woman number two, I'm like, you know, what is wrong with me? And this little lady is like, little Mexican lady about, you know, twice my age, about this tall. She's like, because you're a bee and people are scared of you. And I had never heard that. And I was like, y'all scared of me? Like, I am petrified of silver people. Like, I do not know how to hang around y'all. You know, y'all, I'm scared. So anyways, but it gave me something to work on. That lady became my best friend for like 12 years. Like, we were the oddest best friends ever, right? But she told me the truth. And I needed that, right? I needed to know what to work on. I mean, I got out of prison for the fourth time. We all acted like dummies, okay? I'm trying not to cuss up here. We all acted pretty strange. So, you know, I had to grow into a bit of humility. Right? I had zero. I had to stop being a victim. I had to do that, and the only way I did was go through these steps. And I had to go through them over and over and over and over again. Right? So then there's this guy, Russell, you know. He comes up to me and he says, Lily, I'm going to be retiring soon. And I really need you to take over this clubhouse for me. And I was like, me? You want me to do what you do? And honey, I thought I was the biggest, most important person in the world, okay, to work at 8111. And I'm going to tell you, if there's a God, I'm like, hey, please, 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 if it's your will. I didn't mean that, but I said it because I was told to. If it's your will, let me have this job. I begged the God that I did not believe in for that job. Because, see, with my record, the only place I get to work is, like, you know, Chick-fil-A and McDonald's and crap like that, right? And it's not there's anything wrong with that. There really isn't. But 8111 gave me a purpose that I had never had in my life. And I had to be responsible because other people were going to depend on me opening those doors to stay sober. I never had such an important thing to do. Now, my ego got involved, and don't you know who I'm in? I look, blah, 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 blah. Listen, I've been working at 8111 for 12 years. 12. And I do it still. I've had some other jobs along the way. But I still remind myself how much I begged God for that job. Because listen, if you go to 8111, every now and again, I know I got a real job, right? It's rough. I'm so grateful. I'm incredibly grateful. And how my life looks, you know, I spent a lot of time in jails and prisons. Over 25 times, like, literally I could do a TED talk on how to get locked up. So how do I use that, right? Because you guys say that's useful. Oh, well, you know, I'm an athletic group. This old man Carl, he's gone, rest in peace, Carl. He's like, well, I think you need to be in corrections. Well, what's corrections? That's where you go and carry the message in jail. I ain't going back in there. I ain't going back in there. I might not get out. And we went right downstairs here. And they had like this chili cook-off and a bunch of correction stuff. And you could get a pink can and ask for some coins. Well, I can do that. I ain't going in your prison, but I can ask for some coins, right? It used to be called coins for cons. Yeah, pink can for them. It was a lot more fun, coins for cons. But it got me involved with corrections. And then I go to another corrections meeting, and I fill out a form to go into the prison to carry the A meeting in prison. And I get denied because I was still on parole. See? I told y'all. Then I start bridging the gap. It wasn't bridging. I had a pen pal. And because my name is Michael, I actually got a guy pen pal. That was funny. I got a guy pen pal from California. Wrote him. I got about one letter a month, something like that, for several months. The guy got out and came to Georgia to 8111. But the guy died because he didn't stay sober. And I needed to see that. And so, anyways, then we go to another chili cook-off, right? There was 9 of them here. I won 5 of them. I was telling them, I won a bunch of them. And then, you know, you get to have bragging rights as an alcoholic. Oh, I'm all over corrections now. And so I finally get approved to go in. And my first prison was Pulaski, and I told my story in Pulaski. And the women were so grateful. And it was humbling. It wasn't ego like it was at first. It was like, oh, they really friggin' appreciated it. And I remembered being in there, hearing these people that would come from the streets, and I was wondering, like, they don't get paid? Why are they doing this? Oh, I get it. They were taking on insurance for their own recovery, right? And so then I got to go to Metro, the prison that I was in. It was a men's prison now, but I still got to go in. And I got to speak to those people. And then I go to DeKalb County. Now, let me tell you about DeKalb County. They give you this little card, and you tap it on the wall, and it can open any door in that jail. And, man, I thought I was the shit. Y'all going to give me a card? And I'm going to tap it, and that big old... Oh, I loved it. And I loved that the women's dorm was pink. I'm like, oh, my dorm wasn't pink. I love talking to these women and guys, the guys at Metro, and seeing one or two of them like, come on. And it was hope. It was hope. I didn't sign up to give people hope. I signed up so y'all would give me some, right? Please just show me I won't have to live my whole life in prison, right? But you see, I was having a conversation before I got here. The only life that seemed normal to me was my alcoholic life. And my alcoholic life started way before I drank. I was the victim, number one, way before I ever took a drink. I was a screamer way before I ever took a drink because mom was a screamer. Mom's an alcoholic. That's all I knew. I screamed at my kids, right? Because I didn't know that was abuse. That was normal. Right? Oh, and then punish. Oh, you're bad and you don't do things exactly my way. I'm going to punish you. I became a punishing mom as I was a punished child. See, that was the normal alcoholic life for me. All that's alcoholism. See, the alcohol is my solution to the alcoholism. Right? So then, oh, I got to work on that. I got to dig that up and dig dead daddy up and dig baby up and dig all that up. I got to dig that up. Oh, I forgot a whole big part. Didn't forget. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I lost my only daughter at Bridges of Hope. My only daughter. I have 6 sons, 1 daughter. I had 7 sons, 1 daughter. And so I'm like giving the birds, like, F you and your God, right? This isn't what I thought sober was going to be. In lieu of the bad attitude, right? I was hurting. I was dying. So I did not understand why all this bad stuff, traumatic stuff, was happening. It wasn't happening to me, but I thought it was. The crap was just happening, right? And so I learned that in AA to take me out of the equation, right? This guy didn't cheat on me. He just cheated, right? This person, they just did it. It's not to me. It's not all to me. I just happened to be there when it happened. And so that makes sense, but going from chronic victim to, oh, it wasn't to me, took years. A couple of relapses. I'm not a one white chip wonder. My sobriety day is 12-7-11. I've been at 8111 since 06. I had a couple of slips. 3 years out, 3 years out. See, my thing is, I got 3 years. Then I didn't think I had an allergy anymore, right? Or maybe I'm not allergic anymore. I've never seen anybody who's allergic to peanuts say, I haven't eaten peanuts in 3 years. I think I'm good now. Probably not allergic. But we'll do that, right? This alcoholic wasn't allergic anymore. And so I did, I drank, and let me tell you, I drank one beer. One beer. Went back to 8111 next day, picked a white chip. I drank out somebody. I don't know how I only drank one beer. But that was the worst relapse, and I'm going to tell you why. I could not smash the idea that I could drink just one. Right? Even though I stayed sober another 3 years, in the back of my mind, yeah, but I did drink just one. 3 years later, I drank one again, and guess what happened? Exactly what this says. The push-ups, it was way more than I ever did before I got sober. It was unreal. Right? And I'm so grateful. That was the best relapse I ever had. Even I got my butt kicked out there. I saw in real time how quick I was going to go back to the streets. How fast. Just fast. That's why that was the best relapse I ever had, because I know that I know that I know I'm an alcoholic. I have no question about it. And that if I drink a drink, one sip, I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. I have no clue. And I've proved that over and over. So, here we are. Sobriety. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous has repaired all of the relationships in my life, even my exes. we get along. Hey, you. Right? My alcoholic mother. Sorry I called her alcoholic, but she's my mom. I'm going to tell you, I got a brother, and I got an aunt that I call my sister because she's 3 years older than me. And we were raised in the same house. My mom and my grandma, those are my parents, right? My brother, my sister, aunt, whatever, we were raised as siblings. We slept together in the same bed, took baths, she was my sibling, not my mom. My mom was 13 years older than her. I can tell you, she became captain of Cobb County Internal Affairs. My brother, Marion City Police, he passed 2 years ago, but Marion City Police, Marine, destined in the Navy, okay? We grew up in the same neighborhood, same parents, same stupid situations. They had coping skills, I didn't. I can't blame anything on my past and what happened to me. I can't. Because if I could, then they would be just as messed up as me. But I decided to drink. They decided to do the right thing. Right? I was trying to get in where I fit in any kind of way possible. I was so broken, I just needed somebody to like me. What Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me is not only show me how to like me, how to love me. I didn't think I was lovable. Right? My kids have kids. I have 21 grandkids. 21. I live in abundance, okay? My kids are all married. They stayed married. Nice. Four of them got their own home. One of them went to prison at 17. Is 9 years sober, and he talks in, what do you call the baby jail? Juvenile. He speaks in juvenile. It's been so long. And they call me. They call me. When one of their friends is suffering, using, or drinking, and they don't know what to do, they call me. Now, I can't fix their friends, but my kids see me as part of a solution. My mom does, too. My mom called me to help one of her friends. She didn't need help. But I'm going to tell you what she did, because her friend needed help. She went to her first AA meeting a couple months ago, way out in Hiram, Georgia. I'll take it. I'm so glad, Mom, you're helping your friend. So, in Freedom from Bondage, I love this story. I'm going to finish up. I don't give that shit to sis. When you're in jail, the freedom from bonds is kind of like bling, 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 bling. The word freedom stands out. It was the first story I ever read in the big book. And I identified with her. If I just had the dog, if I just had the hood, if I just had the white picket fence, if I just had this, and I could quit drinking. I believed all that crap. And then the resentment towards your mom. And I'm just like, this lady, like, knows me. And if you're just proud, I'm going to go, oh, there they are. There they are. If you want to have a resentment, you want to be free to pray for them. I'm not going to read it. Okay, y'all know what it says. Pray for them. Pray for everything you want for yourself to be given to them. I didn't speak to my mother for 10 years. 10. I talk to my mom every week. I give her grace. She's got a disease. She's not a bad person. She's done deep. I can't even imagine. I was having a conversation. I can't imagine the amount of guilt that my mom's gone through. I can't imagine being her and having to deal with some of the stuff that she does. I just can't imagine. I give my mom a lot of grace. So I'm gonna end with this. This was another passage in this big book that I thought was BS. Right? Even though it was in my favorite story, this was not gonna happen. This great experience that released me from the bondage of hatred and replaced it with love is really just another affirmation of the truth I know. I get everything I need in Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything I need, I get. And when I get what I need, I invariably find that it was just what I wanted all the time. You guys are my life, my bright spot. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. Got a lot in common. Your name's Michael. My middle name is Michael. Born and raised here in Atlanta. You can blame my mom. She's sitting right there. Something that sets me free.
Take me where the promise.